Alrighty, welcome back to episode 101. We're talking 101 NBA talk today, baby. It's the boys over at Man to Man, Andy, Liam, co-host Andy, Liam, what's good?
Hanging in there, man. Another week has come. We get to sit down on a great day and talk about basketball.
It's another basketball episode, man. If you guys don't like basketball, see you next week. Now, we actually have a cool interview lined up. I think we got interviews lined up for the rest of February. So that being said, if you missed our last interview with Janny Jackal, I was saying Jack L. Like I caught myself throughout the we discussed that.
Yeah, how to say back her, how at to, it.
I know. And I apologized to her. I was like, man, I kept saying Jack L, Jack L. But anyways, Danny Jackal, appreciate her coming on episode 100. It was super dope. She's a part of the Daily Dropout gang with Steven Shapiro, who's another YouTuber, and Big Dawes, another big YouTuber. They got 3.5 million subscribers on YouTube. Go check it out. She's legit. She's dope. I was actually looking at her Instagram a little bit more. And when, because, you know, she was talking about partying and the Dan Bilzerian thing and a lot of stuff like that, besides the college pranks, right? And I was like, are they really partying out? Because I don't know what, you know, University of Arizona, Arizona State, California. We went to California out when we went to go to Dash, record at Dash. And what did I say after just going to that one bar out there where UCLA was like right next to, and then who was in the playoffs against the Braves, Dodgers. The Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, I mean, baddies, literally like a very beautiful women everywhere. And so when she was like, oh yeah, we party. So I then looked at her Instagram, you know, went through her highlights. Yeah, they doing something different out there, dude. They doing something different out there.
Something, all the college, something else is going on out there.
You'd have to compare like those frat houses and sorority houses and parties to, I'd say Alabama, like the Alabama houses fraternities down here. Like that's literally what it is. But I'm rambling. Episode 101. We're talking NBA today. We are without JP. JP, we're trying a little, I guess, a little backstory here. We're trying to do these episodes on Saturdays instead of Sundays. I think that's very obvious as to why. You know, the boys are getting McGee'd out sometimes on the weekends. Long week, trying to get McGee'd. And JP, we texted JP, asked if he was good to go on Saturday. I guess we interpret this differently. He said, what did he say? He said, yeah, I'm going to actually be I think he said MIA. Yeah. Until tomorrow.
Looking back at it, I think I just read it completely wrong. I was also probably not in the most soberest mind space last night when they sent it out. But yeah, I thought he said
MIA.
I'm gonna be in my MIA, and I was thinking first out he's gonna be in Miami. I was like, what the fuck is he doing in Miami, bro?
JP, man, he's a good dude, man. We're actually glad to have JP come on board. He's kind of spiced things up. But no, I don't think, you know, when JP hops on with us, for you guys that don't really know who he is, obviously, you know, he worked for a little bit for us as an intern last summer. And he's just kind of been that guy that's just been with us. He loves talking about NBA basketball. And whenever we hop on with JP on Saturdays, he thinks we're like insane. Like he, we really need to start boosting the Patreon again for the behind the scenes actions. But yeah, some of the stuff that we're saying, he's just kind of questioning if he should even be a part of this podcast. So it's great.
If you don't know like us, like personally, you probably think we're just like regular dudes, but we're kind of strange if you are outside looking in.
We so. Really, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like to say a lot of like things that aren't on the podcast, which we really should start boosting all that stuff to Patreon because we deserve our Patreons some merch here. We're getting the merch out. But that being said, yeah, it's Liam and I. We're going to rock it here for episode 101. We're going to talk some NBA ball. Stick around if you like NBA ball. We got some more exciting news to, I guess, approach you guys at the end of the episode with what's coming next for the podcast. So without further ado, let's get it rocking. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott.
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the Hoopstar Nash.
Hip, hip. All right. So sponsorships. Here we go. We don't got a sponsor, dude. You know, like we do, but we don't really know what's going on with our sponsors because they're kind of fucking us over. I'm not going to lie. You know, we had BetMGM for a little bit. I don't know what's going on with that. We had WinBet. Who knows? We're still looking, man. Anybody want to sponsor the boys? Come on. Come holler us at us. Man to Man Podcast with an S at the end at gmail.com. But that being said, we mentioned Patreon a little bit in the upfront. So today's episode of the Man to Man Podcast NBA show is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the pod directly, it is the best way. Go check out our social media at Man to Man Podcast. Hit the link in our bios and give whatever you can. There are different tiers to our Patreon, $5, $10. I think we go up to 20. You know, I don't even got $20 in the bank account, dude. So we're not trying to blast your wallets too much, but different incentives come with different tiers. And, you know, you get to see the behind the scenes. You get exclusive merch first. We're working on new merch right now. February is the month to do it. So go check it out if you want free access to that. If you want early access to that and everything else. For the people that are supporting us on Patreon, thank you. We owe you one. And we're getting some merch out to you guys right now. So we appreciate that. But other than that, man, we're ready to rock. I was talking to Liam about we were doing some prep and I was talking to Liam about, hey, you know, it's me and you again. So it's kind of like the old days. And I watched a lot of basketball this week and that's kind of opposite of what usually happens. Cause you guys listened to the last basketball episode. I don't even know what's going on, to be honest. But I did watch a lot of basketball this week because I felt like I was slacking. And Liam, you're just a basketball guy, so I know you know it as well, but we're going to get right into it. Our opening topic, and I'll let you pick it. Our opening topic is either going to be about, you know, these NBA All-Star reserves, because we've been doing sort of this competition between JP, Liam, and myself. We've been doing a snake draft, kind of picking guys before all these reserves come out, and see how many guys we can guess to be an NBA All-Star reserve. We'll get into that in a second. So we can talk about that, or we can go into something like a James Harden's upset again with the Nets, and you know me and talking about the Nets. It's really what you want to do first. That's kind of our two things that we got written up here.
Well, let's go into the reserves being named first, because they're obviously, with everybody getting, you know, picked, there's a couple of things that I want to mention that came to the top of my head when these are coming out. And it's A, everybody's like, who is it? Who's going to be picked and how are they picked and who's going to be playing in the game and whatnot. But then also there's another side of like people getting snubbed, people getting, you know, should they even be there in the first place? And we kind of touched on it last week with the Andrew Wiggins, not taking anything away from him. But there's also some other players that I think A, should have gotten on that list, and then B, should be there for sure. And the big one that comes to my mind off the top of my head is Draymond Green. Nothing to take away. This is not like me trying to shit on the guys that made it, because they are all pretty much deserving of it. But with Draymond Green, he's been hurt for the last couple of weeks. And yeah, he's a big part of the Golden State Warriors. To say the least, Andrew Wiggins shouldn't be there. But then to throw in somebody like Draymond that's been hurt, and then you have to leave out guys like big snubs. And I picked LaMelo Ball in our little competition. I think, yeah, he's young. It was second year in the league. But he's been doing a lot more than Draymond Green has for his team. And they're, you know, climbing the rankings in the East. So I don't know. That was my biggest like qualm about this All-Star. It's all fixed. Yeah. They just want to see the most, the most exciting players out there at the time. That's how you get awards won anyway. You know, most exciting player gets usually the edge up on, these awards. But come on now, like Draymond Green, what's your thoughts on that?
I was definitely thinking the same thing. And I think without just going too much further into us ranting about Draymond Green, we kind of just save the All-Star reserves real quick.
Yeah.
So for the East, just to kind of give you guys some clarity as to what's going on, what we're talking about. The East reserves are Jimmy Butler, Darius Garland, James Harden, Zach LaVine, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, and Fred VanVleet. For the West, it's Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, and Karl-Anthony Towns. And I definitely thought the same thing when I saw Draymond Green's face up there. But it is, it's all about, yeah, like you're saying. And I want to say something before I talk about Draymond Green, because I went over to my buddy's crib last Saturday night after we got done with the episode, Bobbitt. This guy don't know anything about basketball, but heard about the Andrew Wiggins thing. And I really didn't even, I should have brushed up on my research before we got talking last week, but he had mentioned the whole K-pop thing, right? And that's how Andrew Wiggins got included or got inserted into that All-Star starting five. I didn't really understand what was going on there. So there's a big K-pop fan base out in, I guess, I don't know, the Bay Area. And they're big fans of the Warriors. Obviously, it's a very diverse town and very diverse fans. I didn't realize that, though. So there's a big K-pop thing. I think what does that even mean? It's like the people out in China?
I mean, what happened was it was basically what we see in social media. If you have these big groups, you know, of people that you don't really know that are connected, but if they all like get behind one thing, right, which in this turn it was the K-pop thing of like, let's get Andrew Wiggins, you know, it's kind of like crypto, like the Dogecoin.
I was going to say, it's kind of an NFT, like Andrew Wiggins is kind of acting like an NFT in this situation.
Right. So a big fan group on the internet got behind getting Andrew Wiggins to the All-Star game. Right. Not even to be a starter or anything, but just to get behind him, like, let's run it for Andrew Wiggins. And guess what? Enough fans voted, and that's why he's there. So, yeah,
Yeah, just moving forward, I had guessed that Darius Garland would be an All-Star. Shout out to the Nashville boy. Let's see. Did we get any others right? I think I guessed Rudy Gobert as well. Mike Conley did not make it. Shout out Mike. Julius Randle didn't make it. You had guessed Donovan Mitchell and DeJounte Murray. Mitchell's in there. JP had guessed Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler, I believe, yes, is in there. Let's talk about the biggest snubs here, because I do want to shout out Fred VanVleet before we get into that. He's the fourth undrafted NBA player in NBA history to make it to an NBA All-Star game. Very deserving. He's a world champion. Shout out Fred VanVleet. I do want to get into the snubs, though, because I think Jared Allen is the guy that got snubbed big time. I know a lot of people were talking about LaMelo Ball. I think LaMelo Ball was borderline for me. You know, he's very entertaining. Of course, he fits into that All-Star game, but he's in the Rising Stars, and it's pretty cool what they do as well with the Rising Stars. They're coached by, you know, Isaiah Thomas and Rick Barry and you know, kind of those older legacy players. But I do want to shout out Jared Allen, because this is a guy that played the Hornets, LaMelo Ball, a couple nights ago. Really questionable ending, and we'll get into that in a sec. But 29 points, 22 rebounds. Kevin Love's calling him a fucking all-star after the game. So I don't know why he's not in there. I don't know who he would replace if I'm just looking at it right now. But some other snubs, I believe, would be like a Miles Bridges as well. Anthony Edwards, maybe a Jason Brown. And I don't know, DeJounte Murray maybe, but I just, Jared Allen was kind of weird to me how he didn't make it. Just putting up really good numbers right now, and what the Cavs are doing in that team on this regular season is just kind of bizarre to me.
Yeah. I look back at it, and I think where we're kind of getting away from it is that East and West are both like represented by the same amount of players, right? But the team itself, it's like a draft style. So, you know, they mix and match anyway, right? In that sense, sometimes. So for me, I think we need to, this kind of bring up to my next kind of qualm about it is, let's get rid of the format and how we do the All-Star. It should be the best, you know, 24 players, regardless of, you know, if they're in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. And that's where I sit, because there won't be things like a Draymond Green getting in there. So that could be filled by, you know, an Eastern Conference player like a LaMelo Ball or Jared Allen that are in these other conferences that are more deserving. But because it's half and half, or I think that's how they do it, right? They do the, you know, so many from the East and West Conference. So for me, let's get rid of that. It should just, everybody should be on a level playing field. It shouldn't be based on who you're playing for in terms of if you're in the Eastern Conference or Western Conference. Because Draymond, I mean, this is the conversation I keep having with people, and I see it on the internet. through Twitter and stuff is just like, let's just get the best people out there because they deserve it more than just being, you know, in the rising star. LaMelo Ball, yeah, he will probably be an all-star from this year, probably until he, you know, declines in his, you know, later years once he hits 30 or something. So he's going to get, you know, 8 to 10, probably all-star if he keeps it up and doesn't get hurt. But he still deserved it this year in my eyes. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that need to be kind of not just scrapped, but changed a little bit, kind of along with like the fan voting. So we don't get these random events that, you know, like an Andrew Wiggins being in there and, you know, Draymond Green and whatever. So,
yeah, it's even tough to say DeMar DeRozan is like a starting five. Like the starting fives are Steph, KD, Giannis, LeBron, Jokic, Joel Embiid, and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
And Wiggins. So, I mean, and you would think that the Suns, you know, the both Suns players, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, not starting fives. It doesn't make sense.
Best record in the NBA.
Best record in the NBA. You would think that somewhat in Cleveland. I think if the game's in Cleveland, by the way, the game is on February 20th in Cleveland. You would think, you know, you'd have some Cleveland boys in there to represent who are deserving of it. So, for me, I don't really think a lot of people care about this to begin with. It's the NBA All-Star game. You know, you're watching – this is like the weird week, couple weeks where you're watching NBA games and you're not even seeing Darius Garland or LeBron play or, like, in, really some of these guys. And then some teams are winning, some teams aren't that are, you know, are expected to win and lose and things like that. So, yeah, it's just kind of a weird week. And I think everyone's just looking forward to what's going to happen after the NBA All-Star game, but we'll keep up with you guys. We had to mention that real quick. I know that kind of took a minute, but we are going to go into our trivia question of the week. And Liam, you got no assistance here, man. So
I was going to say I'm by myself, man. JP, usually I got some ideas going in my head, but this week I'm by myself and I have no help. So,
well, you get it. You get a hint and a question.
I get a hint in the question. That's all I can ask for, I guess. I can't even ask my buddy. Can I get like a phone a friend? Can I call JP real quick?
Yeah. Like, you'll have to call JP. No, all right. So every time we do these, man, I cannot remember the last one that we asked. There's just so much shit that happens throughout the week. What was the last one? Do we remember?
I think there was two. JP added one in there too.
JP added one about a bench press thing over under 27 reps.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I asked. Anyways, this week's trivia question. What year was the NBA founded?
So I get the question beforehand, right before we start here. And my first thought that came to my head was, when you mean founded, is that the first playing year, or is that like, was there a difference between it being founded and then when in like the first like year, like they actually started playing games? So do you know, or is it that the same? Yeah,
I do know. It was founded in this year, but it was called the BAA, which is the Basketball Association of America. And this year, later years to come, the league merged with the National Basketball League, the NBL, and began calling itself the NBA. And I'll give you a hint on that. It's not too many years ahead of the initial year that the NBA was founded.
Okay. So my initial thoughts, obviously,
the BAA, whatever you want to call it.
Right. So I'm pretty sure it's around like, see, these are, I'm glad I clarified because I'm pretty sure it started around like 1950. And then if we're talking about a couple years.
That's a good guess. I mean, that's a good guess. You're in the range for sure.
Around that time frame, if it's a couple years of the actual NBA, it's going to be, I don't know. That's a great question. I'm going to say like 1951 or two. I don't know.
Yeah, that's close. It's very close. The NBA was founded. We'll go throw this up on Man to Man Podcast on TikTok. We're not going to give you guys the answer. but we will if you listen to the episode. So great guess. Great thinking. The NBA was founded in New York City in June of 1946 as the Basketball Association of America, the BAA. In 1949, the league merged with the National Basketball League, the NBL, and began calling itself the National Basketball Association. So okay. It was really close.
So 49, it's pretty close. It's crazy to think that like the NBA was like the NBA, like the ABA, you know, we went to ABA games all the time. In Nashville, you know, shout out to the Nashville Rhythm for a little bit.
Whatever. The Rhythm. I can't believe you remember that, dude.
Yeah, dude. Hey, we held it down there.
Coach San. Wasn't Coach San playing for the Rhythm?
He was.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. It's Liam's old college or high school coach that just kind of dipped on the guy his senior year.
Yeah, it is what it is out there, you know.
But. Nah, that was petty. Anyways. All right, so that's the trivia question. We'll throw it up. That's a great guess. Great thinking. We're going to go into our game of the week, and I'll let you start.
Yeah, so this whole episode for me is going to be kind of surrounded by, you know, the revenge. We're getting revenge for people that are getting snubbed, and I'm going to have to go. Obviously, you just heard me talk about LaMelo Ball. So my game of the week is going to be the Bulls at the Hornets, and these are two teams that I think my take all year is the Bulls have to prove it. I know they're playing well, but they're nothing to me in terms of making a deep playoff run until they actually do it. I'm not a real believer in the Bulls, but I know there's Chicago fans out there. They're, you know, watching it because they're good this year, or watching them because they're good this year. But on the flip side, revenge tour starts now for LaMelo Ball. And I'm going to take the Hornets here. It's on, I believe it's Wednesday night on ESPN. Take Hornets spread. I think they'll be favored in this game. I know Zach LaVine is kind of dealing with an injury. He's listed day to day. So I don't know if he'll be back for this game. But if he's not, obviously the Hornets will be favored probably again by like 4 or 5 points. And then the revenge part of it, LaMelo Ball is going off these next couple of weeks leading up to the All-Star game. He's going to show people that he deserves to be an All-Star, and I'm going to take him over his total points scored. It's probably going to be sitting around 18 and a half points. I know he's averaging just under 20, so somewhere around there, it doesn't matter. He's going to start to look to score the ball a little bit more. So I'm taking Hornets and LaMelo Ball lighting it up.
I like it. And this is a rematch. I've bet on these two teams playing each other earlier in the season. So I think I lost actually both times I bet on these teams. So good luck to you. I did place a prop bet on LaMelo Ball a couple weeks ago, and it was around 18 and a half. He scores a lot in the first half. And I feel like a lot of guys do that to see who's going to be scoring the ball the rest of the game, kind of get a feel about who's going to be hot that game. Kind of went ice cold that second half. And of course it's because I'm betting on the guy. And I think he had like 12 or something. I needed to get 18, and he just didn't score the third quarter and fourth quarter. So he's looking to facilitate. The thing about the Hornets, man, those guys, everybody can step up at one point or another. I love watching the Hornets team. I think they're definitely a playoff team. So I like the pick. My game of the week, and plus you're kind of hot right now. My game of the week, I'm cold as ice, 3-6. Fade the fuck out of me if you want. Bucks at Suns, Thursday night. I believe it's on TNT, either TNT or ESPN. Again, brush up on some research, dude. It's the rematch of the finals, and the Suns are absolutely balling right now. We all know this. I think they're like 4-1 the last five. The Bucks are a little iffy right now without George Hill, without Brook Lopez, although I do believe Brook Lopez will be back and win the MVP. Grayson Allen is weird, man, but I am going to bet on the Bucks player, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not betting on the Bucks because they're going to be huge underdogs. And Liam, I'm kind of in a rut here. I'm either going to take Giannis under 1.5 threes, or I can go stupid and bet on a player combo of points and assist around the 35 range with Giannis over under, or the points, rebounds, and assists, which is going to boost it up to about 45 over under. I'm looking at the game he's playing today on Saturday. They got it under 45 and a half at a minus 118. So this has to be a good pick.
I was gonna say
you got any help here.
Giannis, he shows out in big games there. You got the, you know, they got Chuck, they got Ernie and Shaq talking about him. Sorry, Kenny. I didn't mean to leave you out on that, but they got the TNT crew for this game, I believe. So I think he's going to get up and show out. So I don't hate the total, you know, rebounds, points, and assists over 40. You know, I would almost say 50, and I'd be okay with it.
Little PRA action.
So I don't hate that, actually. I really don't.
All right. Well, we're going to nuke this one. It's going to be points, rebound, assist, Giannis over whatever it is.
Yeah.
Nuke it, book it, sprink and bink. And that leads us into our man-to-man worthy or keep it moving. JP doesn't have a game of the week. He's either in Miami or he's MIA. So I'm going to introduce these topics. We'll see if I can kind of compare myself to Justin Pinza here, but we'll see how it goes. All right. So our first topic is, I guess, this NBA trade deadline. I still have not heard a lot about this. I haven't put the Woj bombs on yet. I haven't pushed notifications yet. But let's address the elephant in the room. James Harden. We talk about this guy every single week. And the Sixers. So the Sixers are a team that are, when is the trade deadline? The 13th?
Yeah, 13th or 16th, I think it is.
Okay, JP, we're ready, dude. But yeah, so the Sixers, long story short, are trying to get rid of Ben Simmons, and I think it's going to happen after the season is over. But with the Nets kind of having this weird, you know, skid of losing games, James Harden's unhappy. He realizes it's not so easy to win a ring with these three guys because – I don't know. They're all drama queens. The question here is, does James Harden want to be traded to the Philadelphia 76ers because the Brooklyn Nets are now open to trade discussions with the Sixers and Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I think it's – so this is the thing. This wouldn't be a topic of discussion right now if it wasn't coming from both sides. So if James Harden didn't want to leave or wasn't, you know – open to leaving, he would have shut this down, right? That's kind of where I'm thinking of, like, all right, if this is really how he feels, I know we touched on it last episode, but if James Harden believes that he can be traded and go to the 76ers, then he's going to be open to him being like, all right, let's try to get it done, right? And I think he wants to do that because he's seeing how good the 76ers are right now. Without Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid's taking his game kind of to a different level that we haven't really seen. Is that because he doesn't have another superstar on the floor? Maybe. But at the same time, if he continues to play like that, it's, you know, sparking interest from these other big players like a James Harden. I think it's kind of redundant, but if this wasn't news to talk about, again, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it. Now that brings to the second point of, will this happen before the trade deadline? And that's kind of where I think the discussion should start, because I think at the end of the day, like you mentioned, in the offseason, if James Harden actually truly is fuck the Nets and, you know, we didn't win an NBA finals, then he's going to be like, all right, deuces, I'm out this bitch. Have fun with Kyrie next week. Yeah. Like, KD, I'm sorry we couldn't make it done, but it wasn't my fault. It was this other kid that we have on our team that can't play home games right now. So that's kind of where I think the mindset is for James Harden. So it is what it is. But I think that's really where the conversation should start is it going to happen now or in the offseason? I don't know what your kind of thoughts are about that.
I don't think they do it. You know, if anything, I think it's a possibly good trade for, you know, both teams in the offseason. That's how I feel about it. I think there's too little of time and maybe too much pressure to pull the trigger on something like that. I'm going to say no. That's all I'm going to say about it. I don't think Ben Simmons, I think you were saying last week, Ben Simmons probably won't even play anywhere, especially if it's not on a contending team. And let's be honest. Are the Nets really a contending team at the moment?
I mean, we know your takes about this, but yes, I think you can't say they're not. They got KD. If KD is on the floor, they're a contending team no matter what, because he's been shown that he can take a team like last year and pretty much will them to one shot to send them into the Eastern Conference, you know, and it just didn't go in. So yeah. For me, yes. But there's another thing around the trade deadline that I think the Nets also should look into, and that's our Indiana Pacers. Our Pacers are so bad right now that we are playing players that I've never heard of. We're bringing Lance Make 'Em Dance back because he's cheap as hell and he, you know, sells tickets, you know? So for me, the Pacers have four players, and I think Shaq said something about this on the TNT this week, but there's four players that we can trade, not to make the Pacers better, but these contending teams like the Nets. You know, we don't know when Joe Harris is going to get back. What is he going to do for you? But we have four players in the Indiana Pacers, and Sabonis, Brogdon, Caris LeVert, and Miles Turner, that you add that to your team and they're going to be a lot better at that position. You know, there's only a handful of players that, you know, are better than them, or, you know, you can make an argument that are, you know, better than them. But you add any of those two, the one to two pieces on your team, and you become more better and you got much more depth on your team. So I would, you know, kind of look out for that too. I don't know if that's like realistic, but I know that something could shake up around the Pacers as well. I think that's the other big team. That kind of have a bunch of assets that they're still kind of looking to kind of divvy out and you know, go through their rebuild as a team. So
I agree. Last thing on that, the only reason why I did ask the question, are the Nets NBA contenders right now, is because I also don't believe the Lakers are NBA contenders at the moment. And we will get into that in a second. So we talked about the Sixers, right? And I want to talk about Luka Doncic. Big game last night, enters top 10 on NBA's all-star or all-time triple doubles list. He just needed 237 games to do that. I think he's at 44 all time. Obviously Westbrook is at 244 or some shit like that. But big game last night on Friday night. This game was interesting to watch, to say the least, because I believe in the second quarter, Luka Doncic is shooting a three. It goes in, but he realizes the rim is bent. So nonetheless, they take about a 30 to 45 minute delay to bring in an entirely different goal. And they get the goal set up. They then measure the goal, the rim. It's above 10 feet. Take another 10, 15 to go. It was a weird game to watch. The Mavs were down for the most part. Especially in the first half. I think third or fourth quarter came back into it. Luka Doncic is making these fans go fucking nuts, dunking the ball over Tyus, whatever the fuck his name is. He's going nuts, dude. Love the fans in Dallas. Luka Doncic, comeback win, 107-98 over Philadelphia. Joel Embiid played great. You're seeing this guy hustle. He is playing MVP ball right now. Yeah, he's balling, and I just want to talk about how he is just creating records right here, and he also surpassed Westbrook for a 30-point plus 15-plus assist, 10 rebounds plus, with 8 total now, right behind Oscar Robertson and those sort of numbers right there. I think at 9, and Oscar's got 22. Just want to talk about Luka right now. I know he's been on your kind of guy to watch out for. I know you say it's a chalk pick when we say who the guy we'll eat the next week, but shout out Luka Doncic. And I think the Mavs could really make a serious move, especially when we're talking about trade deadline, because I know we have mentioned that as well with that team.
Yeah. I think I'm glad you brought up Luka Doncic. It's kind of, you know, refreshing to see him show out and get back to, I don't know, appearing on ESPN with these, you know, records being broken. And to think that he's so young and he's going to plan like he's, you know, a vet in the league. I just wish that they were better in terms of kind of what you were saying, just as a whole team, in terms of making a playoff run and getting into a position like a Western Conference Finals. But they just seem that they can't do that right now. And it might happen in the next couple of years. But when you have a player that like Luka that's going off and doing crazy things, you know, step backs, everybody knows he's the step back king right now. And he makes that move and he, you know, gets to his spots on the floor. I just wish he had the team around him to do it. And we could see some moves, you know, picking up an extra player. But yeah, I mean, you can't take anything away from Luka right now. So he's one of probably the one or two players that you just know that are going to bring it every night.
Especially against a solid team too. Right. And I want to correct myself because I know JP would do the same thing. Russell Westbrook with 193 triple doubles. He'll probably get 244 over under if he can shoot the ball at the basket. So, Luke is great to watch, man. It was a great game. Great Friday night game to watch on TNT. Love it. We're going to go our next topic here. We're talking about the Nets. And I don't know if you want to brush over this, if you want to talk about it, just quickly here, Nets are 2-8 since Durant's injury after their loss versus Utah. This makes 7 straight losses, and no team in NBA history has won a title after a 7-game skid. Harden is unhappy. We just talked about it. Durant's out. Kyrie can't play home games. My take on this, they don't come out of first round or make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, this team is getting blown up. Don't think Harden will move to Philly. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think it's hard when you bring up the stat, you know, no team has, you know, won a title after, you know, losing 7 straight in the 7-game skid in history. So I think at the end of the day, you have to look on the flip side. No team probably has ever lost, you know, what's the combined games that they've played together this year? I think it's like at 10 or something. So you just have to think, if you're the Nets, if you can all get healthy enough and be on the floor, you give yourself the best chance to win. And I think that's another thing that a lot of teams right now and a lot of players are keeping in mind, especially the veterans of the league, is, you know, taking games off. We always talk about load management last year. I think we're starting to see that a little bit now in terms of just players like a LeBron James, like a, you know, Kevin Durant, even James Harden this year, kind of taking their time getting back. You know, they might have like soreness or, you know, a strain this, strain that. Obviously KD's is more serious, but we see players not rushing to get back because they know all they have to do is make it to the playoffs, and that's when the real games begin. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I agree. I don't think the Nets will, you know, win a championship this year, but that doesn't mean they're not contenders. So I'll leave it at that for me. I would like to see them all on the floor at the same time. So
at a plus 325 favorites to win, still either in that first or second spots in Vegas numbers. Very weird team to watch right now. That leads us into our second to last topic on Man to Man Worthy. And I'm going to talk about this Hornets Cavs game.
Please do.
This was a really good game. Cavs win 102-101. There was a questionable foul at the end when the Cavs shoot it. They're down one or something. And Scary Terry hacks Kevin Love as Kevin Love gets the offensive rebound. A lot of people thought this foul was on the floor, but since there's a second left and Kevin Love tries to shoot the ball, it makes it look like a shooting foul. There were a couple weird things that happened in this game, and I want to start out with, I'm still trying to understand what happened, but I think a lot of people are even speculating it as the craziest thing that happened in sports. So I think it was either the second or third quarter. I honestly have no idea. I didn't watch the game that thoroughly. I had it on But there was a play where I believe the Hornets had the ball, shot it or something. There was an offensive rebound, but ended up going out of bounds. Someone threw it back in bounds, throws it over to Scary Terry to shoot a practice three. He misses the practice three, but is fouled by the DNP Darius Garland guy who's not playing, tries to stop him from shooting the ball, and they count the three, and he gets to go to the line. I have no idea what happened, but yeah, whistle blows, cause ball to go out of bounds. Guy takes a dead ball practice three, gets fouled by a guy on the opposing bench. Shot doesn't go in. The refs count the three, presumably for goaltending, and sends him to the line for one, all on a dead ball practice three.
So the thing that I saw was, I don't think the referees intended it to be a dead ball. I think they initially, when they went back, I think that was like, it was a dead ball, but I think one of the refs didn't know the play was over. And that's where you can't go back and not give it to him or something like that. But yeah, I didn't really watch. I was watching it on the ESPN highlights, right? And SportsCenter, and it was, the whole game was weird in first place.
Yeah. But I didn't understand it, but it was a very exciting ending to the game, because I believe the Hornets are down like 6 or 7 with about a minute and a half left. And PJ Washington hits 2 straight threes back to back. And then fucking pretty boy Oubre hits another three. They go up. It was a crazy game. It was a very questionable game. I think the refs in the NBA will look at the 2-minute drill or whatever they do after games and probably say, yeah, we fucked up big time on that. Shout out Jared Allen, 29 points, 22 rebounds, should be an all-star, got snubbed. Leads us to our last topic. Just kind of talked about them a little bit, but this was a week of wild endings. And I want to talk about both LA teams battling it out. I believe on Thursday night, Reggie Jackson went fucking nuts that game. Ends up hitting a game winner off a no timeout from, after an AD alley or Russ alley-oop to AD. Don't know if you saw this game. Crazy game, but I want to talk about the Lakers, because not a contending team to me right now. LeBron is out for knee soreness, load management. Cool. All-star break is coming up. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Westbrook is making threes at the end of the game when they're letting him shoot the ball. He doesn't do that. And then the ending, it was just weird, man. They get the alley-oop. Reggie Jackson comes down, breaks between two defenders, hits the layup. There's no timeout. Malik Monk, I don't know why that guy is throwing the ball in, because he's the one that's a shooter on that team. Throws it to AD at half court. AD turns around. He's got 3 seconds left. Takes three crazy-ass dribbles. He's going nuts. Floater on the right-hand elbow side. It almost went in, but he was just going too fast. You know, there wasn't enough rainbow, and so it goes in and out, and they lose the game. Was that the correct play call? No, they didn't have a timeout. They didn't know what to do. It was going to be a crazy shot like that. But my whole thing is, I don't think the Lakers are a contending team. And I feel like a lot of people that are NBA fans right now want to see the Lakers succeed with Russell Westbrook, AD, and LeBron ending up facing the other side, the other three top-headed monsters, Harden, Kyrie, and Durant. I think that's what people want to see. It's just not happening. And so that's why I believe that neither teams right now at the moment are not contending teams.
Right. I would say this. So the biggest thing that I look at that game is the Clippers. Again, I'm not trying to shit on fan bases, but you have to take the facts what they are. Clippers are out. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. They're playing with Reggie Jackson, you know, players that aren't superstars in this league. You know, we got Zubats that were, you know, out there going crazy last week. And he's, you know, those are the players that the Clippers are playing with right now. And they come in and play the Lakers, who are, yes, down LeBron James, but you still can't. I mean, if on paper you say Russell Westbrook and AD, they should be winning against the Clippers by at least 10 points, 15 points, if they're as good as they should be. right? And if you are down in that game, I think they were down like 18, 20 points, right? And it's like they didn't even show up for this game against a team that, credit to Ty Lue, I guess, but a team that shouldn't even be in the conversation of trying to win games right now with their two best players out on injury. So for me, I agree. I do think, though, the Lakers are a team, we kind of saw it last year, is they just need to get it to the playoffs. I kind of just mentioned it, but these Lakers teams, not that they're contending teams, because obviously the Suns, I think, are unstoppable. It's hard to beat the Suns in a seven-game series right now in the way that they're playing, but they just got to get to the playoffs, and it's almost scary to think that they're going to have to be in the play-in game, right? Lakers right. are going to have to be in a play-in game to get – who are they going to face, the Suns or the Warriors? Yeah, that will sell tickets, and that will get, you know, a good headlining topic and news around the NBA, and people will tune in to watch it. But do they have a chance of winning that series if they're an 8 or 7 seed? Hell no. They're not going to be in the Warriors or the Suns right now. But, yeah, I think it is kind of the beginning of the end for kind of the LeBron era. I hope he proves me wrong, but I'm starting to get off of that ship of, like, you know, the Lakers, they can do it. Because I always say to myself, LeBron James, you know, until he starts losing, until he loses, I can't count him out. Kind of saw it last year, right. You know, they didn't win. They got bounced first round, you know, what it is, or second yeah. round. And yeah, so I'm like, knows. It's whatever, you know.
I do want to go ahead and talk about a breaking trade here that we did not discuss, but it's good that we're talking about the topic because it does regard the Clippers. Blazers and Clippers make a trade here. Clippers receive Norman Powell and Robert Covington. Covington is a guy that has been on this trade deadline scope for a minute. I've been talking about him maybe going to the fucking Mavs. Blazers receive Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and a second round pick. Now, when healthy, the LA Clippers depth after the Powell trade, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Norman Powell, Reggie Jackson, Robert Covington, Zubac, Serge Ibaka, Luke Kennard, Marcus Morris, Nicholas Batum, Terrence Mance, Brendan Bonson, and a couple other scrubs. I will say that Marcus Morris also had a really great shot at that during that game against the Lakers. I kind of saved their asses, but that is a team with the coach who's been there and done that. Could be kind of an underdog to watch out for in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think adding Norman Powell, first of all, Clippers are kind of in the same position as, like, I equate them as like a Rams. You know, you have to compete with LA, the Lakers, I mean, and you have to go out and spend money. And it looks like, you know, money is being doled out at the maximum right now to go and get players like Norman Powell. Robert Covington, low-key, is like, you know, the steal of that trade, I think, because he adds so much, like, dynamic to the court. So I think the Clippers, yeah, I think that's a great trade for the Clippers. We just have to see, like, when you have so much depth, especially once you get players back, like Paul George, I think, is scheduled to come back sooner than Kawhi Leonard, but, like, who, you know, fits with who, the chemistry, you all start thinking about that, especially, like, with people like Reggie Jackson that, you know, probably thinks he deserves to be on the floor, but, you know, if you got Norman Powell in there that's going crazy, you're not going to take him out, because I think Norman Powell right now is a lot better than Reggie Jackson, but
I think Reggie Jackson's kind of proven himself.
I mean, Reggie Jackson is a second-tier point guard. He's a backup point guard, six-man type role on a good team. He's not a, you know, starting point guard in my eyes, but that is no here or there. But, yeah, I think the Clippers are kind of putting their chips to the table, you know, and trying to make a run for it. Because that's kind of a team we haven't really talked about, because their stars are out. But the Clippers, you can't – I don't want to play the Clippers in the first round. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
– I don't know, man. I feel like that Reggie Jackson is their starting point guard.
But he's not. He's not.
You watch the highlights of that Lakers game, you'll be like, damn, he showed up. Okay, cool. So that kind of concludes a lot of our episode. I want to do some honorable mentions real quick. Shout out Fred Van Fleet, comes fourth player in NBA history, become an NBA All-Star. Bet on yourself, man. Bet on yourself. Liam, do you have any honorable mentions?
No, but I see you got some written down here. So
I was just going to kind of ask you to read those without saying that out loud, but yeah, go ahead, brother.
Come on now. We don't know what the hell is going on half the time around here, but yeah, I see. I like the Klay Thompson one you wrote down.
Klay Thompson surpasses Kobe Bryant in most points scored. Yeah, I mean, at 1829 the other night.
I mean, it's crazy to think that we get to witness the best two shooters in a backcourt to ever live and play the game of basketball in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, you know, and that's just, it's back to back when they were, you know, the squad is getting back together, you know, that, you know, yeah. The squad is getting back together.
The gang's getting back together.
Yeah. And it's crazy to think that we get to see them in the playoffs and I think they're a scary team, but yeah, shout out Klay Thompson going crazy, man.
Want to shout out the Indiana boy, Caris LeVert, 42-8-5, shooting 73% from the field. Tight loss against the Bulls. The Bulls and Pacers, for some reason, always play. It's always a really good game. I know we've seen some crazy endings to those two teams playing. Vucevic went for 36, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks, 76% field goal percentage. I know I've kind of talked about Vucevic at the very beginning of season 3 for us. It's just other guys that you need on that Bulls team to make a run. And Trae Young, who ends up playing, JP had a parlay last week with Trae Young. I don't know why he didn't think Trae Young was going to play. Trae Young ends up going for 43 points, 5 assists, 6 three-pointers made, 64% from the field. And beat the Suns?
Yeah, it was the Suns.
It was the Suns. And I was going to nuke that parlay, but I just didn't. And then I guess just to kind of end it out, I do want to shout out Ja Morant and the Grizzly Boys going into the Garden, making some noise. I love that team right now. I'm going to be rocking with them in the playoffs. We're Tennessee boys. We've always been Grizzlies fans. We are not on that bandwagon. We've been there. They got a fucking dog in that team, and I love watching them, man. So shout out Ja. He didn't go too crazy. I think he had like 22 when a lot of people had some prop bets on him because he was averaging 28 the past 5 or 6 games. But man, I do want to say one thing about Ja though. I'm kind of tired of seeing all these social media accounts with the captions of Ja almost fucking dunk on somebody, dude. He's doing all this almost stuff. I think he tried to dunk on Mitchell Robinson, and it was more or less Mitchell Robinson playing really good defense. It was a foul, but blocked the shit out of Ja Morant. And I'm seeing on House of Highlights, Ja Morant almost postered. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Ja Morant, get you one, though.
The only thing I'm worried about Ja Morant, there's two things. Ja Morant scores like more than half of his points in the paint. So he needs to, you know, kind of learn to, you know, expand his game in the sense of make them think that I'm going to shoot. You don't have to just chuck them up, but make them think I can, you know, shoot the ball a little bit, take one or two threes, a couple jump shots here and there. And then when he does go to lane, he will put his nuts on head and it won't be almost anymore. It will be the real thing if his game kind of expands. Because right now, all he does is get a pick, you know, spin, move, cross, crispy cross, get some scissors or something. I don't know what the fuck he does. It ain't basketball moves, the stuff that he does. But and then get to the rim and throw up a, you know, not even looking at the fucking goal backwards through his legs type shit. So for me, if he expands his game, and that comes with just getting older and learning. But when your points, like 60% of your points come from inside the paint, it does come to that almost. Like, I almost dunked on him. I almost did this. Expand your game, you know, a little bit, and we'll start seeing the almost turn into always type shit. So, I don't know. I'm excited, too, though. Ja Morant, man, special player. You got anything else out here? You just...
No, that's it. Shout out Kevin Porter Jr., man. Don't know why, but he's just kind of balling. They had a great game against the Cavs. So that's about it for me, man. That's about it. Cover art coming soon.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I've
been saying that for a month, but we hit up our person and said, hey, knock, knock. We're fucking ready, dude.
Been ready for a minute now.
Fucking ready.
Shout out to JP. We'll catch him next week, I believe. Unless he's in Miami again. But if you ain't got nothing else, I'm going to namaste these fools out of here. So namaste to you guys. Namaste.
Namaste. Man to man on all socials. We'll see y'all next week, baby. Only in the night. It ain't about nothing. I'm straight hustling.